I mentioned a moment ago that neither coach had used their challenge.
Back, guys, to the
What game show is this?
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the Coach's Challenge. Today, I think we're missing Migs, but we got Carl, Lamont, and myself. Today, we're going to be talking about a bunch of things that's going on. I know most of you listeners are aware of all the madness that's going on. I just want to start off by saying, man, I want to go to the bubble. I don't know about you guys. You don't have the PS5 in the bubble, so
they're not having the PS5 in the bubble.
Listen, I read the 100-page documentation that they put out, and I could have swore I saw the PS5.
You didn't see the PS5.
So what are your guys' thoughts on the bubble?
As far as
resources that they're gonna have available for the players.
I think it's still gonna be hard in terms of like for the teams that keep winning mentally to just stay in that one area for that long, because I think it's hard for anybody. Like for the people who haven't had to go outside during this whole pandemic, I know it's been weighing on them, and they've been home, place that most people want to be, but they're doing the best they can. Like all the amenities that they've added in there, the fact that they've got freaking movie theaters that are going to be showing movies that for the rest of us is delayed until the end of the year or even up to next year, and they're going to have those, because let's face it, all those movies, majority of them are mostly all done. It's just that no one is going to waste the money to put the movie in the movie theater right now. So they want the maximum amount of money, because we don't know how those premieres at home have been doing, even though I've used some of them. And I think they're doing a pretty good job in terms of the safety thing. I hope that they have something to monitor the hotline, because I can see how some people can try and abuse that. But other than that, it's a really good step that they're doing in terms of making it entertaining and safe for the players.
Yeah, I agree with Lamont. I think the NBA is doing a good job in terms of, you know, trying to make it entertaining. I know some of us, we look at 3 months and we say, oh my gosh, this is like such a long time. But one thing that I say to people is that a lot of these players have gone through summer camps, basketball camps in the summertime. And, prior to them reaching here, and most of those camps would be around like 3 months, where you are in a remote location and you are away from family, but you're like, you know, spending time building your skills. People go away to boarding school, and, you know, sometimes that's like a year before you see your family. So I think 3 months is definitely possible. The only issues is potentially, you know, safety concerns. I think if people were framing the question as to why we shouldn't have the bubble because of possible COVID, especially right now, like, you know, Florida seems to be getting another spike in COVID. I think if they were framing it around that, then that argument would be more convincing. But if it's just if we're just framing it on the mental health of people spending time for 3 months in a specific location where there's going to be lots of entertainment, there's going to be movie theater, there's going to be opportunities for NBA players to go watch other NBA players play, and they're going to be kind of like the cheerleaders or the agitators, like the ones that are saying boo. Like, imagine, like, you know you're about to face another opponent, so you just go to their game just so that you can heckle them, right? So, like,
oh, wait, you can do that?
Yeah. They're allowing the NBA players to be able to go to the other NBA player games.
Right, that could actually be dope.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, you know, you're getting that, and you're getting all the other additional amenities, and, you know, you're staying at a top hotel, a Disney hotel. I'm pretty sure, like, they're doing things to make sure that these guys are entertained. Their family is going to be there later on. It's going to be less and less people. So I think in terms of, like, from a mental health perspective, I think it's doable for a lot of these players because they've had training in other situations and scenarios. Now, if we're talking about potential health concerns, yeah, that's a credible argument. I don't know if we want to talk about the race thing yet, but that's my opinion so far.
I think we'll go into that later because I have other things I want to talk about the bubble.
Okay, cool.
Yo, the bubble, aside from all the health concerns, let's say everything is safe, everything is sterilized, everything is, you know, treated with precaution, and they test everybody and everybody's clean, and they dust off the handles and they wipe the screens and they blah blah blah, and let's say everything is good, right? The bubble sounds dope. Carl and Lamont were saying about, you know, they're making sure that the amenities are right, that the entertainment is there, that they're comfortable and they get to see the other games and they get to, you know, mingle with the players and bring a family member and be at Disney and have the PS5 and
they're not having the PS5
with The Last of Us. Anyway. but yeah, it sounds dope. Sounds great. Love the colors. But I think about it like this. I would hate to be stuck I don't care if it's a resort, the best resort in the world. I don't want to be stuck for 3 months in a dope ass resort with my coworkers, bro. I would not feel comfortable. I wouldn't. Every corner you turn, you see a coworker. You feel me? You know how you got to tippy toe at your job because you can't say this to this person because this person is going to say this to this person. So imagine all the crazy shit that's going to be going on in this bubble, all the gossip, all the he say, she say, and all the talk behind the scenes and all that stuff. And these NBA players, they're just like us. They got problems. They got issues. They got vices. Imagine those players that want to get some bud at midnight because they need that, you know, them J.R. Smiths that need a Henny. They sell Henny at Disney. Can I bring a bottle of Henny? or they just give it, all I could watch is Disney Plus, not even Netflix. You feel me? So my point is, you know, being in a dope place, yeah, that you could have the best entertainment, the thing, the this and that to get your mind off the game. But like Dennis Rodman said in episode 2, you know, inside those lines, it's fine. I'm good. On the court, I'm good. It's outside and all the media and all the scrutiny that comes with being a public figure. You know, that's going to be crazy in that bubble because everywhere you turn, Kyrie is going to see a media member and they go, even though Kyrie is not even playing in that thing, but whatever. The players are going to see the media and those players that are trying to get away from the media and da da da. You know, it's I see the pros and the cons, but ultimately I'm all for the bubble, man. I like the idea. Sounds dope.
Yeah. Like I said, I agree with like the negatives and the cons that both you guys said, but for Carl, I agree with you with the fact that most of these players are used to it, like the majority of them, because they've gone to basketball camps. But it's also, like I said, this is all a mental thing. The difference between the basketball camps and like this is you can say with 100% certainty when they were kids and they went to the basketball camp, they wanted to legitimately go there. And that also helps with the mental. Like, while you go there, it could be fun, but for some of these people, it's still just a job. And some of them, they still felt some type of way that they have to go through it this way. So that could also weigh in it. Like, the place could literally be perfect. And if it was NBA players get a 3-month vacation to this place, I bet you it wouldn't be as big of an issue if it wasn't a pandemic. That aside, it wouldn't be a big of an issue of them being in this place for a little over 3 months. But because of the fact that, I don't want to say they're forced into it because they don't have to show up, but there's a whole like social aspect with the fans, the teammates and stuff like that on them not going, despite the other things that are going on for them to possibly not want to play, that could also affect them mentally. But in my opinion,
okay,
for the reason not to go wouldn't be the health issues, because honestly, if they make every single personnel go there 2 weeks before everything starts up with like the team practices and they start playing their games, that's enough time to like trickle into So you'll have for like a month before, you have the first wave of people coming in. That's the people who are working the facility. Have them come in. They all get checked out. They're cleared after their two weeks. Then you have all the NBA execs or the people who are working for the NBA teams. They do it. They're checked for that. Their 2 weeks are up. And then you have the players and stuff like that. And later on, their family can come. But they have that two-week buffer, and so you don't have to worry about people getting infected. Because, like, once you're in the bubble, that's it. All the medical staff, all the people who work there, they're all in that bubble. So the only way for you to get corona once you're in that bubble is for somebody to have come in from the outside or go outside from the inside and then come back in. Because even if you're asymptomatic, if you get tested while you're there, you have to go into quarantine until further notice. So it's not that big of an issue in terms of the health issue, if you really think about it. I think the only real argument could be mental health in terms of this and how to cope with it, but I feel like the NBA did a great job with that. And then you can argue about the social aspect about what's going on right now in terms of the protests and things like that. But I don't think that playing the season is going to help or hurt the protest. If you really want to protest something like this in terms of the NBA, they should be protesting next season for them trying to start next season in December and trying to finish it by the normal time of playoffs. If they want to protest something, they should be protesting that. Playing right now isn't a real issue, in my opinion.
In terms of the mental health, I think you know, one thing that the NBA has allowed that addresses your point as to whether or not you know, players don't want to be there is that they can inform their teams by next week, which is June 24, mm-hmm. that they would not like to play.
Yep.
So, you know, they have that option. So I assume that everyone who is going to be there
wants to be there.
Because they want to be there, right? Because you have the option of not
being there. Or they have to be there.
I'm sorry?
Or they have to be there because of the money.
That's
they need the money.
Yeah, but you want to be there because of financial reasons, right? So, and financial reasons sometimes trumps your mental health. A lot of us go to work even though we don't necessarily want to.
That is true. Right? But that is true.
We look at the bills and we're like, well, you know what, Con Edison, I'd rather go to work than deal with the mental health issues of me being poor or me being, you know, stressed out for another reason. So I would assume that because of this additional perk that the NBA has given to these players or the option, I would assume that everyone who's there wants to be there. In terms of like it being a health concern, I know that they're taking exhaustive measures to do whatever they can to, you know, reduce or to ensure that COVID doesn't happen. But it's like you can only do so much. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is speculation, right? A lot of this is what they believe happens. And I remember, like, you know, when COVID first happened, it was like, oh, you don't need to wear a mask. Then it's like, oh, yeah, you need to wear a mask. Then it was like, oh, COVID is not airborne. Then it's like, it's airborne. Then it's like, oh, okay, there's COVID, and then there might be a different type of strain of COVID. So it's something that I imagine that they don't quite have a full grasp over. So it's possible that people could still end up getting COVID. Like, you don't know.
That is true.
Right. So I think if players are legitimately concerned about that, I think that's an argument. That's an argument that, you know, the NBA shouldn't come back. But that's not what they're leading with. As you were mentioning, you know, especially Kyrie's talking about Kyrie Irving. I don't know if we're going to go into the Kyrie Irving discussion.
We are.
Pushing ahead. But you did intro it in terms of like race. So in terms of this being a race issue, I agree with Lamont. I think, you know, people can do multiple things at once. Like, I go to work and I can still protest, right? And so I also imagine these NBA players can go to work and still protest in their own kind of way. You know, Mike always likes to make fun about people wearing I Can't Breathe shirts. But, you know, when LeBron James has a platform where a lot of people are listening to him, right? And yeah, and it does bring exposure to some people who may have never seen that kind of shirt and like, okay, well, let me find out what this I can't breathe sentiment is about. And it's also, and it also gives a platform for him to speak on those topics, right? So like, you know, after an NBA game, like he makes sure to address it. And, you know, maybe he has a fan who might be on the camp of All Lives Matter or might be in the camp of, you know, potential racism, but loves sports and then really likes LeBron and wants to hear him speak. And something that LeBron says changes that individual. So I think people can do both. That's just my opinion. Or maybe I just really like basketball and I want basketball to come back, and that's causing me to be blinded by the need for us to all be together protesting at the same time and not doing anything else. Maybe I also need to quit my job.
Yo, as far as the race and the political and the protesting and the looting and the getting your message across and all of that stuff, I feel like I agree with Carl and Lamont. You know, I believe you can do multiple things. You know, there is room to protest, go to your job, you know, and you're not compromising yourself by doing so. You know, there are ways to do it, you know, and many of us have no choice but to do it because we have commitments that we have to take care of, you know, for our families and for our own careers and stuff like that. So I mean, you know, I'm all for players protesting and everything. And also being in this bubble is going to get everybody together and they're going to be able to discuss all of these topics face to face even better without, you know, using Zoom or FaceTime or whatever. They're going to be able to talk passionately about these topics. And certain guy, and you know, now you're going to be able to be, you know, maybe a role player is going to be that has some good ideas or something like that is now going to be able to reach out to King James, because King James is going to be in the vicinity, you know. So you know it's going to be a big social thing in the bubble, I assume. I'd hope so. And also, like Carl was saying when he mentioned the platform, this is the biggest platform these guys got. It's not their social media accounts or whatever venture they have. It's the NBA. This is where all eyes are on you. So imagine, so you know, that's the best place to get your message across and to wear your I Can't Breathe shirts and stuff like that, you know? So I believe they should and they will. The players are I think we're in good hands. We got to give these guys more credit than what they deserve because I believe some great is going to happen out of this bubble with all these players and all of these different opinions. And, you know, throw Kyrie in there, even if he's not playing, throw Kyrie in there in that bubble too so that everything could get going. Like, these people could talk face to face and really get out what they're really trying to say. So I'm all for the bubble. I'm all for protesting and being political and having a stance and standing up for things. And you don't have to compromise that to go to your job or to keep doing what you love.
So I'm gonna disagree with all you guys. I do think the NBA returning is a distraction. I think like this is a good analogy in regards to everything that's going on. So the journey, like, so let's look at the journey to equality as a train, right? And we're all boarding the train, and that last destination is total equality, right? And on our way to the train makes several stops, right? So let's say, for example, the pictures of police officers kneeling with protesters, you're thinking, okay, that's good. Some people get off the train, right? Then you have a picture with a black kid hugging a police officer. You have different legislations like the Juneteenth. That's becoming an official holiday, right? A paid holiday, right? And you have some people getting off the train, right? So essentially,
you, as the train is going towards that final destination, you have more and more people getting off the train. And essentially, I think with the NBA returning, I do think it will be a distraction, because if you look at how everything played out, the riots, the protests and whatnot, the looting, all these are all cause and effects. These are all resulting of the fact that we were all forced at home, and these are things that we all had to see. Usually, let's look at the people that the previous cases of unarmed Black people that were killed and whatnot, and the reaction to that. Yeah, there was a protest for a couple of days, a week, maybe even a month, and then we moved on, right? Because we were distracted. I feel like, especially in our generation, with social media, the world has gotten so small. There's so much going on. It's easy for us to lose focus, right? So with the NBA, returning, yeah, we can wear I Can't Breathe shirts, but Eric Gardner died in 2014, right? I can go through a list of people that died after that situation, right? So we have Tamir Rice. We have, it's a long, long list. Like, I think the problem with us is that when we think of these I Can't Breathe shirts and we see the police officer kneeling and stuff like that, we get caught up with the symbolism. We get caught up with that. It's a symbol of something changing. We drink that Kool-Aid and think, okay, this is a sign of good things happening, so I don't have to go as hard. And there's a lot of moving pieces now with the fact that we're all stuck at home that's going on, like the different legislations that's getting passed because of all the things that occurred, because you have the youth that are forced to be at home with no distractions, that have to see this, that they have to kind of conceptualize everything that's going on, and they're forced to react to that. I think like a perfect example I use in regards to the looting is, let's think of the Louis Vuitton shareholders, right? When you have Tamir Rice and all these other kids, all these other unarmed Black people that die or get killed and whatnot, it doesn't affect them. Because the goal of this whole movement is to have that uncomfortable conversation with our white counterparts that aren't affected by this, right? So when you have a Louis Vuitton store that's destroyed now, these shareholders are affected now. Their shops, now they're affected by something that doesn't bother them. I've been in a room with wealthy real estate agents that are talking about, oh, let's move this. Let's take this building down in the Bronx and pull this up, because whoever's affected by it doesn't affect them. But when you're immediately affected by the things that's going on, then you're talking to your political buddies, your friends that are in power or not, and say to push this, do this, a certain legislation to satisfy them, so I don't have to be affected by that one. So I feel like with the NBA coming back, those who were protesting have no problem staying at home having a cold beer. Look at even Jalen Rose said himself, we are talking about everything that's going on in today's society, because if the NBA was returned, we wouldn't be talking about this. We'd be talking about a playoff game, how much points this particular player scored and whatnot. So I do feel like in some sense, it will be a distraction, because, yeah, you can sit down and talk with your friends and post an Instagram post and things like that, but those things have been done before. The things that have occurred after George Floyd has died is things that within our lifetime, maybe Harold's a little bit older, so he probably can speak of the Rodney King and whatnot, but within our lifetime, we've never experienced. These are things that we've heard. Like, I've been in Soho and I've never seen a place like that look like a third world country. Stores, million-dollar stores being torn down and whatnot. Like, people that don't care about this situation, unaffected by the situation, are forced to speak about it. So I feel like with the NBA coming back, our attention gets deterred to that. And then you see LeBron wearing an I Can't Breathe shirt and think, okay, he's wearing an I Can't Breathe shirt. And yeah, he's at a big platform, but how many of these white viewers are saying, wow, he's wearing an I Can't Breathe shirt, so let me go research and figure out what's going on and why he's wearing that, compared to, wow, they're looting Saks Fifth. Why are they doing this? Let me go figure out why they're doing this. Or they're protesting in Soho or something like that, and like places where these rich people live at. Let me figure out why they're upset for it or whatnot, because now it directly impacts them, compared to seeing just a player wear a T-shirt. Because LeBron's wearing a T-shirt. That when they won the whole I Can't Breathe thing, when the whole Clipper situation happened with the owner and whatnot. And I mean, essentially, what did it change? What did it change? Yeah, they're speaking up. They're letting it be known. But it's easy for you to see it and say, well, that's a cool shirt. And then the next day you continue on with your day. Just you get what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying. But I think it's like the Players Association for like the president, the assistant president. I think that's what Kyrie is. And all that, they could just be smarter about it. Like, the way that they went about it, it's kind of like muddying the whole argument, because the NBA is still a business, but the NBA does do a lot for not just the African-American community, but their community as a whole, because the NBA, I'm not trying to be like too cynical about it, but NBA likes money, and the NBA for years after fixing their image have been trying to be this whole all-encompassing, we're here for the people, things like that. So in this argument for getting the season to start, I still think they need to talk about next season. That's what they really should be fighting for. But they could have the whole while in a bubble, it could be a whole big protest using the platform, not just individual players like LeBron wearing the I Can't Breathe shirts and that symbol. Like, they can all still do that. That's all well and good. But they can actually use the NBA's platform to their advantage. So there could be proceeds for every game while they're in there that go to any type of foundation or George Floyd's legal team and all the other protesters and things like that. They can still do that, along with having moments of silence during the games before it starts, and having open protests right before and even after the games, so that that way the message of what's going on isn't being lost with the games as well. And if the NBA says no, that also plays into your favor, because there's nothing wrong or really that much damaging to them, except for people, again, who are closed-minded. I'm not just going to say only the racist people, but racist people and closed-minded people who can't see past their own bubble will be affected by that in a negative way. And so the NBA refusing to do something like that, it doesn't have to be to the extreme of what I said, but anything like that would look really bad for the NBA. So the players could get what they want from right there. I think we might have talked about this last time, but like the way they're going about it now, like what CJ McCollum said, this all could negatively affect their standing when they have to do the next bargain agreement.
Yeah, I would further agree with Lamont. I don't honestly believe it's a distraction if they are utilizing that platform to its fullest capacity. And and what Mike said, everyone is forced to be doing the same thing at the same time, right? So what's gonna happen is, if LeBron has a big speech about what is going on in terms of injustice, and other players have a similar type speech, you know what happens is that all the other sports, people that cover the sports, you know, TNT, NBA TV, ESPN, all these sports broadcasters, they have to speak about it too as well. Journalists have to speak about it. So now it becomes something that is ever more circulating. Because right now, a lot of like these sports people, they don't want to get into that topic because they want to keep sports away from politics. But if the players force politics and sports to be combined, now this is something that is an additional platform where people are speaking about it. Because we know we're getting it from CNN already. We know we're getting it from Fox. We know we're getting it from the news carriers, but now you're also going to be getting it from the sports carriers. So now it's like you can't avoid it, because as big as this thing is, if people don't want to see it, they can do their best to avoid it. But people might want to watch sports, and because they're watching sports, now they have to see. Like, you know, when Kaepernick put his knee down, whatever people's opinions were about it, but because he was making that statement on that kind of a platform, it forced people to have discussions that they may not have had he not done that. Had it just been on CNN, had it just been on the newspaper, had it just been outside. But because he did something while they were watching something that they love, that they can't avoid watching, now it spurred a conversation. So, and I think also with what Lamont said too, we also have to look at this whole topic in terms of how it's going to be affecting players' money, because we can't just say that, you know, Black Lives Matter, and we have a league, an NBA league, where about 80%, I'm sorry if my number is inaccurate, but I'm assuming like 80% of the players are Black. You also have a lot of employees that helped the NBA go through. You have like the sports analysts, the journalists, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, that, who get paid based off of the product that the NBA is producing. And so now you're in a situation, if you do cancel this NBA season, a lot of these players are losing money. They're losing money. And then you have a force majeure clause that, you know, the NBA has, in which next season might not occur, and now they have to get into rebargaining. And if they get into rebargaining, now a lot of those nice contracts, those $40 million contract, might turn into $10 million if they're even there, right? And then, you know, the people who are really struggling in the NBA, they're going to be struggling even more. So, like, we also have to think about it from that financial perspective. Like, what are we risking to as well?
Yo, I want to address the people that say Kyrie should have had. Kyrie should have had a better plan or planned it out better. But I believe Kyrie just you know, and the other players that share the same sentiment as Kyrie, they just especially Kyrie, I think he's just speaking of emotion. I think he has concerns about shit that's gonna happen, you know, in the bubble and all of that stuff, and also his concern about starting to play again and being a distraction for what's really going on, you know, in the world and with the racism and protests and the riots. So, you know, I think Kyrie just spoke up without thinking it through, and that's fine because
it's not, but that's not fine. Like,
it's fine because you're bringing it up, and it's good to just bring it up. He doesn't have to have all the answers.
No, but what you're saying is right, right? But the reason why it's wrong for Kyrie to do that is because Kyrie is putting himself in a leadership position. If you're going to be a leader and you're going to be speaking for not just yourself but for other people, if Kyrie was only speaking for himself, wouldn't be an issue because he was just being emotional about the whole situation.
No, I guarantee. Well, I heard on from Stephen A. Smith that he's not the what's his title? His title for
I think he's like an assistant president. But so
yeah, he's an assistant to Chris Paul.
But
Stephen A.
He's also the team rep for Brooklyn Nets. So like every team has a rep. So he's the team rep for Nets.
That puts you in a leadership position. Like even if he's vice. But like, see, this is my only problem with Kyrie, because I think he's an amazing basketball player. I feel like he is one of those people who thinks very deeply about things, and it just spurts off. And it could be a benefit for him, but because of the fact that he does that before he gets all the information, and I don't know him, but I'm pretty sure once he gets all the information, that's when he actually revisits the situation and goes with it. I don't think that Kyrie is arrogant enough to stay on a topic, get facts, and then just dismiss it. But Kyrie wants to be a leader, and right now he's never shown those qualities. He tries to mimic the qualities that he thinks a leader will have, and that's my only issue with it. He's not actually learning on how to be a leader. He's still mimicking what he thinks he should be doing. If he was being a leader about this, no leader can actually effectively lead anybody or get anything done if they go off of emotion. They have to hold that shit in, take in all the negativity going on around them, and they have to analyze that shit and then go off and have a plan. And your people might not like it in the beginning, but after a while they'll see shit and be like, oh, that works. That's what happened with Malcolm X. That's what happened with Martin Luther King. People weren't immediately on what they were doing at first because it just didn't seem right.
I agree with that.
Because with Malcolm X, when it first came out, what he was doing, he was like, we need to go after these white people. And they're like, but we getting our asses kicked. I don't know if that's a good thing. And he started getting results, and they're like, okay, this is what we need to do. Martin Luther King approach was something different. And they were like, we're getting our asses kicked being peaceful. I like what Malcolm's doing, because at least if we're getting our asses kicked, we're kicking asses back. But then they saw that shit work.
I agree.
Malcolm X had the comfort of Nation of Islam that was already established before him.
I know he had more help, yeah. But I'm saying but he did convert, but he converted other people to the Nation of Islam based off of not just of what Elijah Muhammad was doing, but they were. Yeah. That's another reason why there was a rift between. I'm not going to say Elijah Muhammad because we don't know that for a fact, but like other people in the movement, because they felt that a lot of people were joining the movement just based off of Malcolm X, and they felt like he was going after Elijah Muhammad's position. Elijah Muhammad.
Yeah,
that's because he was a true leader that was also working with another true leader. But my whole thing is, I just don't think Kyrie is the person who should have been having this conversation.
No, he's not, and you're right, because I don't agree with the way. I'm not saying he was organized or he has a game plan or anything like that, because he doesn't. But because even Stephen A. Smith said, you know, he's the assistant. He's an assistant to Chris Paul, and he hasn't even reached out to Chris Paul. You feel me? About none of these topics and all that. This is from Stephen A. Smith. He hasn't reached out to the league or anything like that. So his way about going, his way of going about it is not the best, but it rose up the question. It got people talking. He doesn't care how he looks at the people. Kyrie doesn't care how he looks at people. He just wants to really spark it up, because he knows his emotions is telling him that's he doesn't feel right about just going into that bubble and making it a distraction. Because like Mike said, you know, you forget the there's always a next thing. The NBA is the next thing. And that's going to make us forget about the topics that's going on in the world and with the racism. So I kind of agree with Kyrie, but I also agree with Lamont and Carl. He doesn't have a correct game plan. It's not well thought out.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what you guys are saying. Like, I can't support a person whose, I guess, premise or their main argument is, oh, it smells fishy. Like, you gotta give me more than just that. And, you know, Kyrie's never really had complete thoughts. Kyrie reminds me of a person who just hears. Maybe there's like a good leader behind him who is talking to in his ear, who has really sat down and marinated
pops,
with his ideas. Yeah, whoever it is. Like, I'm not gonna make an assumption, and has said these statements in, I guess, in small bite size, right? And so now Kyrie is just going with that without actually sitting down and making the investment or taking the time to really learn on the topics that he wants to speak on. So then he says these things that never really seem complete. And when you try to press him on it, he just gets angry, or he's just like, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Well, but you're the one who brought up this conversation, and you're the reason why we have to speak about it. And if you're so concerned, and this is why, like, I really never jump onto anything that Kyrie tries to lead, because if you're so, because he always shows why you don't side with Kyrie. Because if you're so concerned about the bubble, in terms of it being a distraction, in terms of, like, you know, potential health situation, why would you be having a conversation with other basketball players to say, hey, how about we start our own league? Well, what's that going to accomplish? Isn't that also going to accomplish a distraction, because we're all going to have to be focusing on this other league? Isn't that also going to be...
That's why I say it's not well thought out at all.
I can kind of get I don't agree with the own league, but I think I can kind of get where he is trying to, if I'm trying to understand his point. In a sense that, so the NBA, we understand that the NBA is a business, right? And I think a lot of people forgot that the situation with China happened earlier this year, right? Yeah. Was it earlier this year or late? Or was it late last year?
Late last year.
The NBA is still mending that relationship, right? At the peak of it, they were standing to lose up to $400 million. As China's their partner, and that's a relationship that is still mending, right?
Right.
On top of the coronavirus happening, and them losing up to them them potentially being able to lose up to $1 billion, right? Right. So those two impacting the NBA, now they're at a point because at the end of the day, it's still a business, that they're still at a point where it makes sense for them to want to push the completion of the season. Even so much so with you looking at, like we were talking about with the Zion situation, with them putting the setting it up in such a way that's unfair to certain teams, where you have Zion still being able to play and whatnot, obviously to garner ratings and whatnot.
Why is that unfair?
I forgot what the details, but I know certain players were upset as far as the standings, standings go about with the different teams being allotted to play and whatnot. I don't know the details. I'm just going off what I've heard.
I think they were in the run. They were in the run, and I think the teams that weren't a part of it didn't want to be a part of it because they were more so concerned about the lottery and free agency. Mm-hmm.
So I can understand. So, and being that everything going on, and then you have the bubble, and then the NBA being made up of a certain group of demographic of people, I can kind of see what he's talking about now. But I definitely do agree that Kyrie's history and like you guys, the points that you guys made earlier, Kyrie not fully educating himself on the subject, and I think that's the issue with celebrities in general, where we have celebrities that are these like mystical, mysterious people that can tap into these different levels of thought process that we can't tap in. So they try to make themselves these focal points or these voice pieces of these ideas, but they're truly not educated on the topic matter you're speaking of. Like with Kanye and slavery being a choice, and then you had the kid that played Spider-Man, and I was in what's his name? I forgot. And he talking about Rosa Parks could have took a cab instead of taking the bus and whatnot. You have these pockets of people that these celebrities that feel like they can speak on things they're not well versed on. But to go back on your point as far as the NBA, LeBron James being able to utilize his platform and whatnot, and Colin Kaepernick using his platform to create conversation, I mean, how extent was that conversation? From what I can remember, the conversation completely got overshadowed in regards to Colin Kaepernick as his disrespect to the American flag, him not honoring the troops and whatnot. No one, for the most part, especially on these on these different television shows and stuff like that, First Take, Undefeated, and all these different, weren't talking about the injustices or focusing on the injustices that were going on. The hub of the conversation was how he wasn't disrespecting the flag and how he wasn't that elite of a player and how, he's doing these different things to kind of self-sabotage himself and whatnot. And when I look at it, and you bring up LeBron James in the camp brief shirt, let's think about the results that garnered after him wearing the shirt. When I look at what's happening now, Black Lives Matter 2-3 years ago was labeled as a terrorist organization. You have Fortune 500 companies promoting Black Lives Matter, regardless of whether they're hopping on the promo run or whatnot. You have Fortune 500 companies that were not voicing any opinions on the Black Lives Matter movement or the injustices that were occurring, vocally speaking on everything that is occurring now, right? And because we have been allotted this platform where everyone is forced to be at home and have to see what's going on, right? I've never seen the news cover an issue this long of an extent. Even so much so, can you honestly sit here and tell me the young man that was killed in Wendy's, right? Had this not been the coronavirus and everything going on, that they would have charged the cop, right? And then on top of that, there's so much still going on.
I don't think it's necessarily the coronavirus per se. But yeah, I think like we're definitely in a climate where when these things do happen, they're gonna get a lot of attention.
Social media.
Media, but media in general wants to talk about these topics. It's just like when media really wanted to talk about coronavirus, like we were hearing about every single death that was at every single hospital. Even if like people were dying for like other complicated symptoms, but because like, you know, media really wanted to cover coronavirus, like they're just like, oh yeah, they died from the coronavirus.
Quarantine
has anything to do with the fact that
I think it helps. So I'm not discrediting that, but I'm saying I don't think if the NBA comes back, it takes away from what's going on. And I think you asked before, like, has there been similar situations like this? The only time I can remember from history is after MLK died. After MLK died, you know, he was assassinated. There were like international riots.
Oh yeah, no, I'm not referring to like, I know there's been riots way even before MLK died and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking as far as when you had a celebrity.
But Mike, what I said was for this to, the best thing argument for them to happen was not to do that. I said the celebrities could still do that, but to actually have the NBA be in charge of that. So they would put be donation proceeds being donated to any of these causes for, like I said, George Floyd, his family, or any of the protests going on, but also having before the game and after a game something to do with the protests, whether it's a moment of silence for the movement and the protests, or in a group, or having a like breakdown of like things that happened in the not just have like the NBA players who already played their games, they talk about what's going on with the protests and things like that after the games. That way, that way the NBA would still be helping along with the cause, with and still getting the players to actually be on the court and things like that. And if the NBA says no to that, it looks bad for the NBA. So it forces the NBA into that position where they would have to do that. Like, the players had all of the leverage to do that. That's another reason why I don't like the reason why Kyrie did that. If he'd have went to Chris Paul and they actually came up with a plan, they would have gone into the meeting for the restart before they did that vote that he just had. He just second guessed after he voted for it to actually have a good plan for them to start out and it not being a full distraction.
Fuck around. There's a reason why Kyrie didn't say anything to Chris Paul and them. You probably don't trust none of them niggas, man. Yeah. You never know, man.
Everybody smells fishy to him.
Yeah. Everybody has an agenda or something. Kyrie's one of those dudes, man.
You can't understand his logic.
After Kalani, man, he hasn't been the same.
I do agree. I don't think Kyrie was the proper person to
have.
One thing I will say too is that the Ahmaud Arbery situation happened during the pandemic also.
Ahmaud Arbery was killed in February. That was before the pandemic. We got quarantined late March.
But I understand. He physically died before the pandemic, right? But when we heard about it, like when the video was released and it became news, it was about a month after, right? So we learned about it during the pandemic. And it didn't bring the amount of riots that we see today. So I think one thing that really, really, really sparked this was the fact that George Floyd was in handcuffs. And just having to watch that graphic video where it was completely indefensible. Because a lot of times, like with these situations, you could say, other people from the other side. Because what we really need, because Black people are already upset. We've been upset all the time. But we need white people to be upset about the situation, right? And so when in a lot of these other situations, you could talk to white people who don't want to see color, who don't want to see systematic racism, and say, well, you know what? He was resisting. Or, you know, he was very big, or he did look threatening, or he has a rap sheet, he has this, he has that. But looking specifically at George Floyd, seeing him with the handcuffs, seeing the knee on the neck for an exhaustive amount of time, where he's screaming, I can't breathe, calling for his mom.
That image, bro.
Yeah, that image. I think it's just so indefensible. That's really what spurred off the riots, especially after
that shit sticks after to you,
they
man.
Saw the videos. The prosecutor said, oh, well, we don't see anything to prosecute. It might take months before we arrest them. Then people really got heated because they're just like, wait, how could you watch that video and not see a murder? So I think that's really
it's crazy.
The feelings attached to that video is what really caused a lot of the riots and this attention, and the fact that it's completely indefensible.
Going back to Kyrie, and I gotta say it for the pod, you know, Kyrie probably heard about the bubble And he you know how bubbles are round, right? I gotta say,
he don't trust nothing that's not flat.
It's a basketball.
Yeah, put him in a flat bubble or something, you know.
Flat bubble.
Let me ask you, then what do you think about Dwight and Avery Bradley voicing the
Yo, man, Dwight's they got to get traded, man.
Shut up. Dwight is...
Trade them.
I honestly think that Dwight is just trying to get back on the good graces of the black community, because the black community is really toxic towards people of the LGBTQ community.
Allegedly, we don't know.
No. I'm not saying that he is, but I'm saying the black community, unfortunately, is... Unfortunately, the black community is still very harsh on the LGBTQ community, and because of all of the rumors that haven't been proven as of yet about Dwight Howard, I feel like he's just trying to do that. Because look, let's be honest, right? Dwight Howard, his whole career, his whole life, even when he was at his most serious during his playoff run, he's been known as a goofball and things like that. And he knows that because he embraces it. And that's probably another reason why he plays around so much, even with all of the gay rumors and stuff like that. Because he's goofy. He just wants to have a good time and have fun. No one is looking at him for speaking up on these matters. So I think the only reason why he felt like he needed to speak out on him, because I could be wrong because I haven't checked his Twitter or any things like that, but I haven't seen any posts from Dwight Howard on any other topic other than maybe Trayvon Martin. But other than that, and which was another big one, I haven't seen him do anything or talk about any of these topics that have happened other than these really, really big ones. And because of the fact that his reputation isn't that great amongst the black community, unfortunately, because of his alleged maybe sexual preference, I feel like he felt like he had to speak out on this matter and make himself look good. So I don't really trust what he said. Avery Bradley, I don't know how to feel, because I haven't really heard much about Avery Bradley.
I think it's good. I think it's good that they're speaking out, even if whatever, they have agendas, like Amon said, and about Dwight Howard and whatever. But I mean, it's none of that stuff is well thought out. I think now I hope LeBron and Chris Paul and the people that can think about it and think it out, you know, get together with Kyrie and hear them out, and hear Dwight Howard and hear Avery Bradley.
You know who really needs to speak? People like Jaylen Brown and Malcolm Brogdon, because mm-hmm. these are people who actually spend their time researching these topics.
Brogdon, yeah.
Yeah, they speak at colleges. They are
international.
Yeah, so like I feel like these two players, in terms of the NBA, I see them as the intellects. Like they're the top tiers mm-hmm. in terms of like knowing these topics and knowing how to articulate them. They actually put the time and study these topics. So I'd be very interested in them leading it. But unfortunately, they don't have a platform like Kyrie does.
I mean, Brogdon is an all-star.
That's true, because I didn't even know Jaylen Brown was that
high up. This guy teaches at MIT.
No, I knew about his intellect in that. I'm talking about within the NBA.
Celtics Jaylen Brown?
I'm sorry?
Which Jaylen Brown? Like a Celtics Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown from Boston Celtics. Yeah. There's only one.
Like I knew about what he did academically, but I didn't know, like, in terms of his standing in the NBA. I didn't know he was that high up until I saw the picture of all of the representatives and stuff like that.
Hmm.
I think that's impressive, especially because isn't he in like what, his fourth season?
Yeah, I think it's his fourth season. Yeah. I think this was part of his fourth season, but he's been improving, like, you know, year by year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he reminds me. Y'all probably gonna attack me on this, but he reminds me of Jimmy Butler a little bit.
I can see that. No, I can see that.
Yeah, when Jimmy Butler first came in, like, you know, he wasn't that talented of a player, but you know, he worked on it. He worked on the defensive side, and you know, his offense increased, and to the point now we have to recognize him as an all-star. We've been recognizing him as this for quite some time, and I think Jaylen Brown has a similar trajectory to me because he has the athleticism, he has the defense, and he's been improving on offense.
Mm-hmm. Yo, let's talk about fantasy, man. Let's talk about Yahoo. Let's talk about the refunds.
On a lighter note, so anybody that follows fantasy, unfortunately was given the news.
Don't say unfortunately, because we got not one, not two.
The championship.
But three times.
The fantasy
championship.
The basketball fantasy season was cut short.
Consecutive.
Premature. One premature championship.
And the places were as is.
Triple crown champion.
If you're first place, you were the champion.
I'm sorry. We got Bill. We got Mike. We got Kobe. And we got Carl.
That's it. Yo, I did it for Kobe, man. Kobe died this year. I told him I was gonna make him proud.
Carl was in three leagues.
You did what for Kobe? You created
one
pandemic for Kobe.
I bought the MBO. Kobe graced my season,
making him the only fantasy player within our circle within history, NBA fantasy history, to win three rings.
Three rings in one year.
It was not acknowledged in FBA.
Yo, so, it don't matter if you acknowledge it. Yahoo does.
How does FBA not acknowledge it when he got the
Do you expect the ring?
I respect it. He won. Yo, he had the best record.
That's it, bro. If you don't respect it, you just sound like a hater. That's it.
I don't respect what Yahoo did. Yeah. That's why in my league,
their platform though, right?
In my league, the NBA, I'm the commissioner, and I said, you know what? Let's acknowledge the 20 weeks, which I think this is what Yahoo should have done. Let's acknowledge the 20 weeks that happened, and it does count. It reflects on your rating. It reflects on your record, but you didn't play for a championship. You didn't play in the playoffs. Everybody knows that the playoffs is a whole different ball game. The first seed doesn't always come out alive in out of the playoffs, so you know we're not gonna jump to conclusions. So why did Yahoo feel like they could, you know? So
yeah,
how I feel about Yahoo. That's why in my league, in the FBA,
they
don't acknowledge those trophies. But I did acknowledge the fact that they did play for 20 weeks, and these seeds were final as per Yahoo. They were finalized. So I used those and I put four and I picked the top four and I gave them the East, North, West, and South division. The only reason why I'm talking about this is because I'm you know, there was a lot of people, there was some owners that had
very controversial.
Yes, it was very controversial.
Giving them contacts.
Yeah, So, you know, so I decided to acknowledge the four division winners. I gave them their prizes. I decided to acknowledge the MVO, which was Carl. You know, great job. I respect that.
You got to break down that acronym. It's not just team. Most valuable owner.
Most valuable owner, Carl.
Let them know what that means.
I respect that. That's a feat.
You don't respect the chip? That's messed up, though.
I don't respect the chip because he didn't play. He didn't play Alex. He didn't play.
I wasn't in there.
So,
I'm gonna give you context too. Harold has had this league for five seasons, and he's been wanting his name on the chip.
Damn. Since season one.
My name on the chip. It hurts. He's crying. He's sad. Bro. Every time I put a picture.
Hurt.
Of me, Carl Trotless, next to FBA 2019 champion. It hurts him inside.
I'm
one for one of the finals. No matter how much you cry, your tears cannot wipe away my name from 2019 FBA champion.
He said he's putting an asterisk and putting Corona next to it.
Bro, you can put whatever asterisk you want next to it, but you gotta put champ first.
I'm curious, what does Yahoo say?
Yahoo says he's a champ.
Damn. That's it. Official.
It's a stamp.
Not the FBA champ. There was no FBA.
Yahoo says
there was no FBA. That's another reason why, Mike, that's another reason why I decided to go the route that I went to, because we acknowledge the MVO, we acknowledge the division winners, but we didn't acknowledge the championship because there was none, so we didn't distribute any money, any prize money for that invisible championship.
Invisible, he's right here.
Invisible, it's still
championship. So Carl, did you win? Carl, did you win division money?
I won the league.
Did you win MVO?
He won the league.
Carl, did you win MVO?
He won the league.
Carl, did you win MVO?
In the great words of
Paul, did you win your division?
I'm not calling backboard. I'm calling game.
Oh. You won division money, game MVO over. Money. Game check your receipts.
Over.
You won MVO money.
Damn, but yo,
and you won division money.
I was crying. Yo, I'm sorry, bro. Yo, I wish I couldn't do it. Yo,
we didn't send out no.
I'm gonna call Yahoo.
As far as I know, the pot was $1,500.
I didn't know
the pot was $1,500. I didn't send out $1,500.
Harold,
I sent out $200 here and a couple hundreds here.
Damn, bro. Yo, you want me to call Yahoo? I'm gonna call Yahoo. Man. I'm gonna ask them if they could take my name off of it.
$1,500 is still in the $1,500 is still in the pot.
Banner. The banner's still there, bro. You can't.
$1,500 is still in the pot.
Banner.
$1,500. You could have been the first one to $1,500.
Yo. Oh, you can keep the 1500. My name's on the banner. Yeah.
1500, bro. Mm.
Yo, 1500 is 1500.
Not in the FBA
raffle. The banner is priceless. That's it. You can't put a figure on that.
Listen, the pot still got 1500 in it.
No, bro. And the banner still got Carl next.
I gave out $100 here, $200 there.
What's up? Yo, take my name away from the banner.
Oh,
there you
go. Maybe this was good that Mix wasn't here, because I know Mix would be heartbroken.
Three chips in one season, not just one. Not just one, not just two, not just three. I came and I did it.
Congratulations on MVO and division winner.
That's it, man. And Yahoo sent me the congratulations for chips for FBA.
Congratulations for MVO and division winner.
Harold was in.
Congratulations for MVO and division winner. FBA, MVO.
It takes true skill to be number one in three.
FBA division winner.
Sure, bro.
There was no FBA trophy, no FBA presentation.
There was no FBA trophy.
No championship trophy given. No championship money given.
No trophy was given. Carl, did you get a trophy?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm confused. How
everybody knows. Everybody in fantasy knows 2019 trophies weren't earned. They were given.
So Harold, according to you, not according to Yahoo, not according to Twitter, not according to FBA. So Harold, Rob is still the FBA defending champion, according to you.
Rob is the 2019 FBA champion.
Bro, man.
That's all I got to say about that.
You feel me? Dang, Harold, I know this was going to do this to you, bro. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. If I knew, I would have.
Sorry, you gotta. I'm sorry you have to see this side. But listen, I mean,
no, Carlos. A lot of people are gonna be coming after your head when
I congratulated you. I congratulated you for MVO. I don't mind
that. That's
the man. The all season I was giving you your props. Mm-hmm. I was not saying anything. You know me. I'll troll it, but you did your thing. Yeah, but there was no chip money given.
I expect to do that next season if Corona, you know, doesn't get involved, you know. I feel like the only league that I really haven't, you know, figured out in terms of the statistical
I see that whatever, clear.
In terms of like the rule setup, it's FIBA. That's it.
I feel like FIBA is great because first of all, the 20 man
league that we have for those listening.
Yeah, 20 man league. I like that gimmick. I told Migs, yo, keep that gimmick because
I'm not a fan of it, bro.
Yeah, but there's no other league that big, so it gives you a different look. You know, it's different because the pickups aren't as significant, but they are. You feel me? Because when you find out that one pickup that could change your team, but it's really minimal, but it's still consistently minimal. So,
but you know, keep what also him. Makes Migs' league very difficult too. It's because he has like all the cats involved. So it's not just like it's a 20-man league, but like, you know, you have players like Westbrook with turnovers and, you know, percentages, all these cats.
I've been one in my league with turnovers, but people are scared of turnovers. People are scared of negatives. Turnovers,
bro. I ain't scared.
I'm not scared of no category.
I'm not scared of it, but I'm not a fan of it. You know?
Well, I done seen a lot of teams lose because of one or two turnovers.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Congrats, well, Carl. Congrats on your three rings. Making fantasy history.
Yo.
You're etched in stone.
Congratulations on MVO and division
one. That's it, man. Yo, congratulations on the three chips. Thank you, Yahoo. And you know, it's good when you have haters and
Yahoo sucks.
People don't like your achievements. It's cool, man.
Love you, Yahoo, but you suck. Fucked it all up.
I wish I could see his face right now, bro. Yo, he's upset.
That shit was a bad move, man. Bad move.
Yo, he's shaking his head.
I feel you, because I would love to get those three chips.
Yo, he's in mourning, bro.
If I got three chips, I'm never coming back to fantasy. I'm taking them.
You laughing, but he really would, though.
Carl, retire. Matter of fact,
I feel like Jordan right now, bro. I don't want to leave. Yo, y'all got to make me leave.
You should retire. Go join hockey.
Baseball. I don't have Krause, boy. I don't have Krause.
Go join a fantasy baseball.
I am Krause. I'm Krause and Jordan.
Just know there's a bounty on your head. There's a very hefty bounty.
It's okay. Yo, I've never been afraid of that. Like, I've been using fantasy every year to just, you know, sharpen the skills and to improve, to learn about everybody. Everybody's like, you know, low preferences and what makes people tick. And, man, you know, I just feel like I improve that every year. Every year I'm researching. So I'm not afraid of the competition. It's the same people every year. Unless y'all change and do something different, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it looks like I have to go back to the dojo then. I have to go back to the dojo. Yeah, thank you guys. We're gonna wrap it up there. Congratulations again, Carl, for your three rings, breaking fantasy history.
Yeah,
thank you. The champ is here. Bow, 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 bow.
Thank you guys for listening. Be sure to subscribe, share, comment, and rate. And that's a wrap for us. And check us out next week for the next episode of the Coaches Challenge.
Peace.
Later.
Peace. Later.